9:25, you are listening to Radio Islam International. Hopefully when we return, we should have Mufti Zubair Bayat. 9:29, you are listening to Radio Islam International. Seven traits that push people away. Number one, envy. People will get tired of your constant competitiveness. Don't be insecure. Love yourself. And this is in line with the prophetic narration. وَزْهَدْ فِي مَا عِنْدَ النَّاسِ يُحِبُّكَ النَّاسِ. That distance yourself from what people have, and automatically people will love you. So if you are two buddies, two friends, you know, and you are very close to each other, but every time when you start to have a discussion, it's always about, so where did you buy this from? I really like it. Oh, I like your phone. I like your bag. I like this. People don't like that. They said, oh, why are you becoming so touchy? Don't talk about my things. Rather, let's discuss something else. So the hadith also states that once you leave envy out, people don't like that you be envious of their traits, of their belongings, of their possessions. Once you leave out that envy, then automatically people will love you. So you might be sitting in a very luxurious car, but it doesn't affect your heart. That friend will be highly appreciative of the fact that you are not envious of his possession. You take him for his friendship and not because of his car. But if you are befriending him because of his car and you are envious because of his car, then that person will automatically feel edgy towards you. He will feel like, I think I should keep my distance from this person. So envy does push people away. That's one thing we need to keep in mind. So you must free yourself from those kind of thoughts. Number two, being overly sensitive. Stop taking things so personally. No one likes to be made to feel like they have, they have to be tip to toe, walk on eggshells, and they have to be so cautious when they are around you. Don't be overly sensitive. You don't want to socialize with a person that's very, very sensitive, because you are more worried about what's going to hurt him or her and what's not going to hurt him or her, and you are not focused on the relationship or that friendship that you have. Like we done in Ramadan, if you remember, for a person who's extremely sensitive, you use the phrase, he has a chip on his shoulder. That means he's very sensitive, he's hyposensitive. You don't want to be close to such people, because most of the time you are trying to fix what's undo the wrong, or you are trying to clarify what you've just said. No, what I actually meant was, what I'm actually trying to say, please forgive me. I mean, too much of those hassles that you have to go through when you are sensitive, when you are too sensitive. So don't become extremely sensitive. People will tend to just, you know, withdraw from you. Number three, playing the victim. Grow up and stop blaming everyone for your problems. Your victim mentally is exhausting. So, that's another problem. You know, playing the victim. It's always me. It's always me. It's always you. It's always them. You know, looking for someone to blame and never taking responsibility. That also pushes a person away. Number four, negativity. Nothing kills an idea faster than a negative person. Now, sometimes you wake up early in the morning, you are energetic, you've got this crazy idea in your mind, and you share it with somebody close to you, and that person says, I don't think it's going to work, man. I don't think so. No. So, surround yourself with positive people, because positivity then breeds positivity. And the adverse effect of negativity is that it will breed negativity. So it depends who you are surrounding yourself with. Sometimes positive people become negative because of the people around them. So never surround yourself with negative people. And number five, a lack of self-control. Being impatient. If you burst into tears easily or lose your temper and cause a scene often, this shows a lack of self-control and people will be embarrassed by your behavior. So that's what you must keep in mind. Number six, being judgmental. Don't be judgerach. Don't be so superficial that you love to judge other people. No one will feel safe around you. Because when you are judgmental, you are nitpicking and you're making things difficult for the people. Just enjoy the relationship. Just enjoy the companionship that you have instead of being judgmental. You know, some people, they take the problems of the whole world. This man, he must do like this, and then she must do like that, and then he's like this, and then she's like that. So don't be judgmental. People don't like those people who are judgmental. Number 7, cruelty. Treat people well. Don't backstab, manipulate, or be mean. Everyone loves a nice person. Cruelty just pushes you away further and further from that person. So 7 traits that push people away. Number 1, envy. Number 2, being overly sensitive. Number 3, playing the victim. Number 4, negativity. Number 5, a lack of self-control. Number 6, being judgmental. And number 7, cruelty. These traits pushes a person far away from his or her friend. May Allah give us the understanding. We go for a break. Hopefully when we return, we should have Mufti Zubair Bayat. 23 minutes to the hour of 10, you are listening to Radio Islam International, and time now for the basic fiqh program with Mufti Zubair Bayat, the Amir of Darul Ihsan in Durban. Mufti Sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Maulana, and assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
Mufti Sahab, indeed good things are scarce.
Yeah, Maulana, Ramadan comes once a year. Eid comes twice a year. All good things are scarce, as you say.
It's wonderful to have you back on the program. Alhamdulillah, we missed your absence, your presence, Mufti Sahab. And alhamdulillah, it's good to talk to you again. Tell us, Mufti Sahab, what can you share with us this morning?
See, Marana, it's like you say, now to come back onto the airwaves is like starting all over again, in the sense that there's been quite a long absence. Unfortunately, during the month of Ramadan, there was not many programs that we could do. I'd been away for Umrah a few days, alhamdulillah, and then the Etikaf. So at these times, it's a little bit difficult. But nevertheless, the Mubarak month is over. It came like a wind and it went past like a wind, and before we know it's over, and there's already 10 days of the month behind us today. So may Allah Ta'ala accept all the ibadat of the month of Ramadan from all of us, all our listeners of Radio Islam, the entire Ummah, and whatever good was acquired in this month, may Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to sustain that good. Whatever bad habits we gave up because of Ramadan, Allah give us the ability to continue to abstain from that after the month of Ramadan. May we emulate the example of Sahaba. It is said about Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum that kana yad'una Allah sittata ashhurin ay yuballighahum ila Ramadan, wa kana yad'una Allah sittata ashhurin ay yataqabbala minhum ibadat Ramadan. For 6 months, they made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let them reach the month of Ramadan. And for 6 months after, they would make dua for the acceptance of the ibadat of Ramadan. In a way, you could say that Sahaba's minds were all rotating around the month of Ramadan, because there are only 12 months in the year. So for 6 months, if you're making dua for acceptance, and 6 months you're making dua to reach Ramadan, so it means the whole year your heart is, you know, attached to Ramadan, and your heart is revolving around this great month of Ramadan. And indeed, it should be that way, Maulana. We should have, even though Ramadan is over, but our dua should be for the acceptance of all the ibadat of Ramadan, and looking at what we did and how we can continue with it, and how we can make it for the next Ramadan. We should look forward to the next Ramadan. Only Allah knows best, you know, if we make it or we don't make it. Ramadan is going to come, but will we be here or not? Ramadan will be around, will we be around or not? That is to be seen. But nevertheless, we need to look forward to the next Ramadan. At least make the intention that Allah make us live to see the next Ramadan. Then it is in Allah's hand. A person, if he made such a intention, a noble intention like this, and didn't live to see next Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala, out of His mercy, will grant him the reward of the Ramadan without even being present in the Ramadan.
Subhanallah.
Because his good intention was there, and we know that niyatul mu'mini khayru min amali. The good intention of a believer is even better than his action. So he will get rewarded accordingly. Just by making the intention, he'll get the reward as if he fasted the month of Ramadan and he made ibadat in the month of Ramadan.
Mm.
Now, you know, there are many good things that people do in the month of Ramadan, because this is a month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up many avenues of goodness. The angels are announcing there, Ya Baghi al-Khayri Aqbil, wa Ya Baghi al-Sharri Aqsir. The angels announce, and they are actually, you know, exhorting a person, encouraging a person. Allah Ta'ala gives the angels the duty to say Ameen to the du'as. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chains up the rebellious shayateen. On a lighter note, one of my friends was saying that at home they told the children that, you know, don't do a certain thing because this is an act of shaitan. So Ramadan time they were doing the same thing. So the children, one of the children said, no, this is not shaitan, because shaitan is supposed to be chained up and tied up. So even the children, if they listen attentively, they also realize that yes, the shayateen have been tied up. And of course, it is the month in which, you know, Allah Rabbul Izzat helps us to tame our very nafs, which is the main obstacle between us and Allah's obedience. So the environment is made conducive in Ramadan, because Allah Ta'ala wants that now, for the 11 months after that, we must carry on with that training. Like, it can be said that the month of Ramadan is a wonderful workshop that we attended.
Mm-hmm.
All the believers around the world, there was a massive, mass-scale workshop that was conducted. And this is the workshop of piety and taqwa, and learning the lesson of obedience to Allah Ta'ala and shunning disobedience. So now the outcome of that must be seen after the month of Ramadan, that we continue in that same spirit and the same vein. Now, I recall reading somewhere an article about saving the changes of Ramadan.
Mm.
It was very well written, in the sense that it was likened to a computer program or a computer. That those who are familiar with using a computer, when you have open a document on the computer, it's like a computer document. You open the document, now you start editing it and you start making changes to it, then at the end of that session you saved that editing that you did, because a lot of time went into editing it, so you save all of that on the computer. So like that, the month of Ramadan came, we edited our lives in a way, Maulana.
Ajib.
We did some editing, you know, deleting all the unnecessary and inappropriate things, and we added a lot of good things in there, but now we need to save the changes. So we press the save button, right? And we want that to be saved. Otherwise, if we do not press the save button and we switch the computer off, then whatever we edited will be all lost, and we'll go back to the original document which we had before we started that session. And that will be with all the mistakes in it, and minus all the good editing changes that were done.
Mm.
So I found it a very nice analogy, and we can apply that analogy to ourselves relating to the month of Ramadan, that we had one document of our life before Ramadan which needed this important editing to be done, and the editing was done in the month of Ramadan. And that all the bad parts were deleted, the good parts were enhanced, and now we save the changes so that after Ramadan, that becomes the document of our life, and we continue with that spirit.
Mufti Sahab, sometimes the computer crashes or it freezes. Phir kya hota hai?
Gee, that is a very good point. You see, that is why, as you go along, Maulana, you keep pressing the save E, save as button. So that in case, and then some, fortunately, some computers have auto save also. So what happens is, if you activated the auto save there, then what may happen is that you might lose some information, but you can regain that very quickly because it's not a lot of information that you will lose.
MashaAllah.
Because most of the time it was on auto save, you know.
SubhanAllah.
So in this way, inshallah, if we try to consolidate, of course, if the computer crashes, then that is something you can't do much about. You've got to start again from scratch then, as they say.
Mm.
But inshallah, in our example here, we are talking about people who didn't crash in the month of Ramadan in the sense that they crashed so badly that there was no salah and no fasting and no Quran and there were no way in the masjid and nothing of that sort. Then you say, yes, that was a case of a crash.
Mm.
But those who are doing all the good as best as possible and staying away from the haram as best as possible, they are the ones that, alhamdulillah, they have this the opportunity of saving those changes of Ramadan and now continuing in that same spirit now after the Ramadan is over.
Mm. We should and, have an antivirus, Mufti Saab.
Yes, that's a very good point, Maulana. Yes, that's a very good point because you see, if there is a virus in the computer, it can definitely corrupt your files, you know. It will corrupt the whole files. That it will corrupt what you got. They could, you know, turn all the information upside down and mix it up. And you won't even recognize your own document after that. It will be all jargon, you know, jargon. It will be all babble text that will come out.
Mm.
So therefore, we have to make necessary arrangements to ensure that, you know what, you have an antivirus program installed on the computer not to allow any viruses to come in and corrupt your system and eat up some of the information and the sectors on your hard drive and all of that.
Mm.
So the same analogy can be applied here to the month of Ramadan that, you know, avoid all those type of actions or things, you know, bad habits and practices that are like those viruses. You've got to put your antivirus on and activate it before the month of Ramadan so that you do not, for example, one terrible virus is, say, the habit of watching pornography. Allah forbid. Now comes the month of Ramadan. Now you cannot allow that virus to come into the system or into your document in the month of Ramadan. Because it will corrupt all the information you got there. This bad habit, this virus, it will eat up all and it will corrupt all the goodness of the month of Ramadan. So like that, after the Ramadan too, we make sure that we do not allow any of these viruses to attack what we acquired in the month of Ramadan. So this was just an example, and Maulana, you're building on it with these additional points.
Gee, Maulana, and then just on the point that there are free antiviruses available. In our context, where would it be, Mufti Saab?
The free antiviruses are all what we're doing now on Radio Islam, for example, these programs that they are being, you know, aired day and night. Lot of nasiha and advices are being given, and lots of encouragement is being given. Lot of warnings have been issued regarding, you know, those harmful and detrimental things in our lives. So to listen attentively and to practice, to listen and to practice, to listen and to practice. Mm. This is the important thing. It's not just listening for the sake of listening, because I prefer to listen to an Islamic radio station instead of a normal station to keep me busy.
Mm.
And then it will only be about keeping ourselves busy, but it won't be about making the changes.
Mm.
So that is why it's important that even listening to a radio station must be with the correct intention and niyat. That is, whatever I hear that is beneficial, I must try to practice it as soon as possible, or immediately if possible.
Mm.
And whatever I hear harmful, I must give it up immediately. So that listening now is not just listening, but it is listening with obedience. Sami'na wa ata'na, as the Quran says that this was the way of the pious and the righteous, that sami'na wa ata'na wa qalu sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. After that, if there was any shortcoming, they asked for forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala, but the attitude was one of listening and obeying. And there were others who said, Sami'na wa asayna. We hear and we disobey. Allah save us from being that wretched lot of people who heard with, not with the intention of practice, but with the intention of not practicing, not following. So therefore, when we listen, it should always be with the intention of practice at the same time. So that is, then of course there's the lectures and programs in the masjid, that's also a kind of antivirus, and the ta'aleem, they do reading good books at home, listening to audios, etc., going in good environments. These are all antiviruses that are very helpful and that give a person protection from all forms of harm.
MashaAllah.
So the month of Ramadan is over, but it doesn't mean that now we are like a bird out of a cage and we are now just, you know, free to do as we want, how we want. We need to keep that momentum going. Whatever, you know, we learned in this month, we should try and implement it and follow up on it. There were lots of lectures that were given, lots of programs were held, alhamdulillah. I think in Lanesia, if I'm not mistaken, over the years there have been ladies' programs, sisters' programs that used to be held during the month of Ramadan very regularly.
On Sundays,
is it? Yes. And it's still carrying on?
Yes, still carrying on. Very popular.
Alhamdulillah. So, there's wonderful programs being held there for sisters, for example, on Sundays. Was it at certain homes or?
At Nurul Islam, Ra, very popular. In fact, one Sunday we should try and get you next year, inshallah, of this up.
Ya Allah.
Mala Yusuf Wadi very generously, inshallah, will make arrangements.
Inshallah, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, yes, wonderful initiative, excellent initiative, may Allah ta'ala accept them. You know, the hearts are soft in the month of Ramadan. So whatever impressions are put onto a soft heart, those impressions last. And now to gain on that, to you know, build on it, to adopt all of that, maintain it, sustain it. It's like, you know, when the clay is soft, or the wax is soft, one can imprint on it and one can, you know, leave an engraving of some sort on it. Or when the metal is still hot and it's soft, that's the time when it can be shaped. But once it hardens, then it's very, very difficult, almost impossible to do any kind of shaping of it. So like that, in the month of Ramadan, it was a time when everything was soft, hearts were soft, and it became like that metal that was melted and that could be shaped, or that wax that was melted and was able to be shaped or carved, or, you know, whatever substance we could think of, it's been softened up now and it's ready to take on some new beautiful shapes and engravings. So whatever we engraved in the month of Ramadan, we attended those programs, we listened to the advice of the ulama, we should try to implement that and keep it going. At least the salah on a 5-time basis, at least our connection with the Holy Quran, our daily dhikr, even if it be for a short period of time. These are those things that we have to continue with, trying to learn something new, acquiring some knowledge of deen, learning something new, reading a good book, at least one or two pages a day. We'll keep the shaitan away, inshallah. One, 2 pages a day will keep the shaitan away. Normally they say apple a day will keep the doctor away. And this is, you know, reading those good books will keep the shaitan away, inshallah. Just one or two pages a day is sufficient. Let us be a reading ummah. MashaAllah, every week, Mu'ana Dokra does the book review. And new books have been introduced to us, the different books that have been written by the different authors. Those are for our benefit to, you know, to help us to improve our knowledge and to improve our lives. So those books are not just for book review, and we hear the book review and that is it. But we should look towards acquiring those books. Read them, read even a page or two a day. And that will take us a long way. It will take us a long way. We will learn a lot. We will benefit a lot. We can pass that over. We can pass what we learned or we read to others, to our children at least, the minimum. And we can pass it over, the books itself, to other people to read, to benefit, so that more and more people read and more people benefit. Because alhamdulillah, the role of literature in Islam is very great. As we see Allah Rabbul Izzat mentioning in the Holy Quran, Noon wal Qalam wa ma yasturun. Allah takes an oath on the Qalam, the pen. That means there is a great power in the pen. There is great power in the written word. Therefore, we should take full maximum benefit of the good literature that is around, read that. And inshallah, if we make our life patterned and disciplined in this manner,
inshallah,
then we're living for a purpose. Like somebody said very nicely, the purpose of life is to have a life of purpose. That is the purpose of life, to have a life of purpose, not just to have an aimless existence where we're just like, you know, drifting, like a boat that is drifting, which has got no anchor. There must be a purpose of life. That is the purpose of life, is to have a life of purpose.
Gee.
We must know what we're doing, why we're doing, what is our purpose, what we need to do, what we need to achieve, what we need to acquire. For example, the translation of the Quran, many people started reading in the month of Ramadan. I know one brother told me he even read up to 10 juz of the Quran.
Mashallah.
But let it not be now that Ramadan is over, so we stop now, because Ramadan is over, so now we don't, we continue. By the next Ramadan, perhaps, you know, if we can't keep up that pace of Ramadan, at least try to, from this Ramadan to that next Ramadan, all everyone could at least make a resolution, for example, to say, I will at least read through one complete translation of the Quran, to understand what Allah Rabbul Izzat is saying to us, what message is being given to us.
Jee.
Inshallah ta'ala.
Mufti Sahib, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all our systems from crashing and also from being attacked by any virus, inshallah.
Ameen, summa ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen, Mawlana.
We hope to speak to you next week, inshallah, Mufti Sahib.
Inshallah ta'ala, next week we will commence, inshallah, with some more discussions. It is also Mawsamul Hajj, the season of Hajj.
Jee.
So perhaps, inshallah, we will also be discussing a few aspects of Hajj in the coming weeks. As the Hujjaj are beginning to, you know, leave in due course, perhaps in a week or two, I think the first batch of Hujjaj will be leaving already, going for Hajj Baytullah. The fortunate ones, the very lucky ones, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected them and chosen them. So inshallah, we'll speak some aspects relating to the Hajj in the weeks to come, bi-iznillah ta'ala.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته